Before we begin the Vintage Homeschool Mom Show, let's listen to a word from our sponsor.
Now, the Blue Crew is back.
Let's go have some fun.
In their first fully animated adventure.
Nailed it.
To escape a dangerous undiscovered world, the Smurfs will have to team up with a whole new tribe.
A village full of girls.
Hey.
Freaking out, you guys.
Smurfs, The Lost Village. Rated PG. Exclusively from Affirm Films. Get a free Bible-based discussion guide. Visit AffirmFilms.com to download it for free. And enjoy great discussions with your whole family about the importance of purpose, friendship, honesty, and loyalty. As seen in Smurfs, The Lost Village. Now playing.
Do you have all the time in the world? In this episode of Vintage Homeschool Moms, the answer to this question and more will astound you. Stay tuned.
This is a production of the Ultimate Homeschool Radio Network. Welcome to the Vintage Homeschool Moms Show. Your host, Felice Gerwitz, is an author, a publisher, and your radio show host. She will encourage, educate, and inspire you with answers to your most pressing questions, from homeschool, marriage, parenting, and much more. Felice loves to equip moms to live a Christian life because every moment counts. Be sure to visit her website at mediaangels.com. And here's your host, Felice Gerwitz.
Hi and welcome. My name is Felice Gerwitz. Today we will discuss time and the fallacy of thinking you don't have enough time each day to give your kids the kind of education you believe they should have. But before we get started, I want to thank our sponsors, Media Angels. Media Angels has over 65 products, including books, novels, and classes to download. Go to mediaangels.com to find out more information. Well, the first thing we're going to do is dispel the fact that we don't have enough time. Now, you're talking to somebody who doesn't have a lot of time, but what I learned years ago in my homeschool journey was that I had to dispel the notion that my education curriculum at home had to mimic that of the public or private schools. And as an educator, it was a hard mantle to shirk because I had been indoctrinated not only in my own school experience, but also as an educator, that the way to good education was to cover every subject every single day. And I found that the way to good education is to give your children a love of learning. I had a teacher in college that really taught me this love of learning. What she taught us to do extremely well was to be able to research and find our answers. We didn't have to just regurgitate on a test what she taught in class, although that was part of it. She really encouraged us to delve into, explore, and find answers to our own questions. So when we ask her questions in class, she would say, you know what, that's a great question. Go find the answer and then come back and share it with all of us. And I remembered that late in my homeschool journey. I want to say late because I wasted, I thought, of the first year at least in my homeschool journey. And when I discovered that, I realized something. You know what? I am the giver of time in my own homeschool day. And for everyone listening, moms and dads, you are the giver of time in your homeschool day. You have all the time in the world. You are in charge of their schedules. Isn't that amazing? Of course we know that. And of course, my kids are college bound, so we have some things that we need, quote unquote, to get done. But we can really schedule our days and still give them time to do some things. Now, I know what you're thinking, because I've thought the same thing. I have to admit that if we give our kids time, they're going to A, get into trouble, B, create trouble for others, or C, discover their passions. And believe me, my kids have gotten into trouble. They've created trouble for others. And finally, at some point in their lives, they've found things that they're really interested in. Well, let's talk about a passion. What does it mean to be passionate about something? Well, it means getting excited, telling other people about it. Like when I talk about this radio network, I get really excited and I share it with everyone. And it's because I believe in it. I'm enthusiastic. I see the benefits. And that's what it's like when you find a hobby or you create something that you feel is really amazing. Like, for example, if you're experimenting with a dish that's difficult to make and you get it right, you know, you get really excited and you want to make it, you know, every other day for dinner. But your kids are like that too. They can get really excited about doing certain things. Little kids love it when you read a book to them. And it, once they read themselves, or they're real little and they want you to read it, what have you noticed? They want you to read that same book again and again and again. Or when they learn to read a book, they want to read that same book to you again and again and again. It's because they're excited, because they're understanding it, because they love to hear a story where they know what's going to happen. When your children have the ability to create, to explore, and to really see things and have that time to do something special, they are going to create and become passionate people. All right, so what if you're saying, okay, well, I don't have, you know, ideas of what to give them. And, you know, that's why we say no worries. That's why we have this Ultimate Homeschool Radio Network, because there are some great shows on here with very creative people that have lots of ideas. And I'm going to give you some ideas for younger kids, and then we're going to talk about the older kids in a little bit. Even if your kids are teenagers and you're listening to this broadcast, don't worry, because you can still do this at any time in your homeschool journey. And I'm not talking about a huge amount of time to begin with. You may only want to give your kids 15 or 20 minutes before lunch or dinner. That's when I gave my kids time to do some things like this. And it wasn't that I put them in a room somewhere and gave them this, you know, box of things to be creative with. I had them nearby where I could watch and oversee things. And if I was giving them a little bit more of a complex box of things, so to speak, and I'll explain that in a little bit, I would just prepare dinner that day that was, you know, maybe taking a lasagna out of the fridge that I had thawed out already, or making something that was a little bit more minimalistic so that I could keep an eye on them. Because kids will be creative and they will get in trouble. So we want to have this be a positive experience and not a negative one. So the first thing I started doing was collecting a lot of things. And when you hear some of the things that I'm going to be talking about, you know, people have said to me, well, that sounds like crafts and I'm not good at crafts. It's not all crafty kinds of things. You know, again, why do you think you're not good at crafts? Because it's not coming out the way you see it in the magazine or on Pinterest or somewhere else. And so your expectations of what it should look like kind of, you know, fail. But what I'm saying is, you know, these types of things that you're collecting are not necessarily for a specific purpose. They're for your kids to be able to explore and discover. So the easiest things to start saving are recyclable materials like toilet paper rolls, paper towel rolls. I started saving those really thick plastic containers from the individual yogurts. They have they're really strong. The lids you throw away because they peel off now. They used to have little plastic lids on them. And just stuff like that. Also, things like string, balloons. A lot of times we have parties and we have leftover balloons, straws. You know, just anything that comes to mind that you might throw away. Look at it and say, is this something I could save for my kids to be able to do something with? If you have kids, you know how creative they can be with blankets, sheets, and chairs. You know, they're creating their forts and their tents. It's something that's fun to do. Well, you can do the same type of thing with strings, balloons, and straws. You can have the kids string the straws and take some tape and tape a filled or inflated balloon onto the straw, and one person holds one end of the string at one end of the room, and one person holds the other that has the balloon taped to the straw. And then you let go of the balloon, and the balloon zips through on its little straw rocket. That's a really fun thing to do. Well, you know, when you're giving your kids these things, you may not tell them exactly how to use it, and you'll be surprised at what they'll come up with. But I remember giving my children that activity one day and taking a phone call and doing what I say, you know, you shouldn't do, and that is walking away from the room. And when I came back, that string was unbelievably circling chairs, and somehow they made these little rocket zip line things go from one end of the room to the other and crisscross. They each had, I guess the best way to describe it is as an X, and one had an inflated balloon on one side of the room and the other, and they let go of it to see which one would get to the end first. So your kids will come up with things. It's really fun, and they'll ask you for time to be able to just discover and explore. So when they're littler, you're going to give them some specific things to use. When my grandkids come over, if I give them, you know, paper towel rolls and marbles and tape, again, that's something that's really fun to do for them. And I don't know what it is with kids and tape, but they absolutely love it and can go through a lot of it. So you may want to have some pre-cut tape for them. But, you know, it's one of those things that they just will play with for the longest time. And it is a really fun thing. Another would be giving kids baking soda and vinegar. You can give them little paper cups and baggies, and of course this is an activity for outside because the baggies can explode, or give them a bottle, a plastic bottle, a balloon, baking soda, and vinegar. And again, sit back, take a magazine outside, a lawn chair, and just watch your kids, you know, have fun. These, again, are, you know, some of them have some science background, but the idea is to allow your children to experiment, to think, to create, and you will be, again, surprised that they're going to be asking you for some things, or they're going to be adding to this box. And, it, you know, I remember we were doing things with magnification one time, and the kids, I had given the kids a chocolate bar. We had some leftover from s'mores, and the next thing I know, they're taking the magnifying glass outside and melting the chocolate. Yes, it was a mess. But it was, you know, like, where did you get that? What made you think of that? Well, you know, they knew that sunlight going through a magnifying glass could burn things. And so they thought, well, you know, we could melt chocolate bars doing that too during the day. And, you know, they needed the graham cracker out there, which they didn't have. But, you know, it was a gooey mess. But if you start younger, it gives the kids a way to think. It allows them that experience, and they're going to be geared toward that kind of thing. I'm going to caution you too that when you do things like this, that it may be very important to think about how you're going to react to some of their creations. So I'm going to give you a couple of things that I've learned. And the first is to be encouraging and to be enthusiastic. Now, it's hard to be enthusiastic when they're making a big mess. And that's one of the reasons I say, you know, take some of this outside. Or if the kids say to you, you know, Mom, can I have a magnifying glass and take my chocolate outside? You may clue in and say, okay, this could be a mess. And so we're not focused on the negative part of it is, oh my gosh, it's, you know, they've got chocolate all over the place. And you're focusing more on the positive aspect of, wow, that was really cool. And you knew that magnifying glasses create heat when you're using it with the sun and, you know, that kind of a thing. So again, that's something that's important and to think about. Of course, we're all going to fail at that. And, you know, if you do, that's okay. The second is to say, well, tell me about your whatever it is, if it's a painting, a drawing, or they've built this amazing monstrosity out of blocks. Instead of saying, what is that? Or what is this? Because that makes them think, gosh, she doesn't even know what it is. Because I remember saying that to my kids and my kids saying to me, you know, don't you know what this is, Mom? It's you. You know, well, of course I knew that, you know, the big eyes and, you know, big hair, and, you know, whatever, the scrawny body is me. You know, it makes them, you know, think, gosh, you know, I did a horrible job. So you want to encourage them. And my mother used to, you know, I started thinking back. My mother used to say, you know, tell me about it. And my mother had the patience of a saint. She could sit there and listen as I went on and on and on. And, you know, my daughter has quite a few little ones. And from time to time, they're trying to tell me something. And I'm just grandma. You know, I can't imagine what her day is like when you've got, you know, five little ones that can talk, telling you something all at the same time. But she has incredible patience, like my mother did, to be able to sit there and listen to what the kids say. And I don't always have that patience. So that was one of the things as I was thinking about a list of what to do to encourage your kids to discover their passion. And that's one of the things, is by not only encouraging them, but having them explain to you what they've done and giving them that opportunity to talk to you about it. Another is to give your children the time and supply some great resources. And like I shared with you, simple ones like recyclables or more complex, such as blocks and bricks. And then some of the other things I want to talk to you about, you know, obviously when I say bricks, that means, you know, the Legos or Duplos or any of those educational products. And later on, I give my kids electronics. I don't give the kids electronics very early on. One of the reasons, you know, for my older kids, they weren't around. And I feel like those two have a lot more ability to want to do things that are more hands-on in some ways than the younger ones who have had more opportunities to have those electronic devices. But we'll talk about that in a minute. And then give them opportunities for hands-on learning, and not necessarily teaching all by unit study, but also looking at your curriculum and what you're using, and maybe taking out one segment of a particular topic or subject and say, all right, I want to give my kids an opportunity to explore this further, and I want to supply some hands-on learning. Hands-on learning can be anything from creating a video to a project. So we were studying about a period of history, and my son wanted to recreate a war scene, you know, no surprise there with boys. And my daughter wanted to do a PowerPoint presentation. And so they each did their own thing. One is 2.5 years younger than the other. And so they were able to take that project, so to speak, and make it their own with what they wanted to do. And that's what I'm talking about when I say hands-on learning. And the last is to create yourself. We look at this and say, well, if I'm giving them all the time, I'm going to have to do the chores, and I'm going to have to make the meals, and how am I going to have time? Again, you are the author of your own time. You can get up earlier. You can stay up later. You can give yourself permission to read a fun book, or to read a book that's educational that you want to further your education in some way. And that's something I did recently. Just allowed myself time to read, which I love to do, and I wasn't giving myself time to read. And when I began reading more, I noticed my children were reading more. And we're going to the library two times a week now, recently, over going, you know, maybe once a month and having the overdue books. I get calls every day with books being put on hold by my kids. Again, it's because they see me reading, and that is the best thing you can do if you want your children to do something, is to model it for them. What is the saying that good character is caught, not taught? And we look at our kids and we say, you know, well, why do they have, you know, just my bad character traits? Well, I hate to say this, and I'm saying it to myself as I say it to you. And that is that we, by example, show those bad character qualities, and those are what they're going to pick up, what they see the most. So we're all fallible human beings, so it's what it is, not always great. Well, we're going to take a break for a commercial here. We will be right back, and I'm going to share with you some more things you can do, especially as your children get older.
Do your children seek the truth? How about within the pages of a novel? And where can you find a novel that is Christ-centered and not tainted with the lies of evolution? Well, right here, within the pages of the Truth Seekers Mystery Series by Media Angels Publishing. As a mom and owner of Media Angels, my daughter and I co-authored a series of books that would teach a love of finding the truth and include a focus on the truth about God's creation. I hope you join us within the pages of the novel or anytime at mediaangels.com. I pray you always seek truth, His truth.
Hi and welcome back. My name is Felice Gerwitz and this is an episode of Vintage Homeschool Moms. And today we're talking about giving your child time to discover their passion. One of the things I want to reiterate is scheduling in this free time. When you don't schedule it in, it's not going to happen. I know that happens daily around here. Right now, the children are studying for the SAT test that they're going to be taking. And so they're really focused on that, and their free time is being taken with that. So we're having to push back some of our, you know, exploring time, but we will go back to it once we're done with the testing. So this is something that you have in your schedule so that if you have to put something else in, you will have that ability to do it. To begin with, I give my children 15 to 20 minutes each day. If you're just starting out, you may want to start with one time a week or 2 to 3 times a week and give that child time to do a craft, a project, or something that you have put together for them to do. At the beginning of this session, I gave you some ideas of a craft box or a science box or, you know, just a miscellaneous box, if you will, of things that you can give your children to explore and to create and make a mess, because that is going to happen. One of the things that came to mind is that you may want to just give them time to explore some of their hobbies that they already have. And so that's what I do now that my kids are older. And so as they get older, I allow them to have what I call the devices. I'm not a big game person with electronic games, so I never really encouraged that in my children. Not to say that they didn't want them or earn some money and purchase it themselves, but it wasn't something that I wanted to foster in our home. The other thing is we have one television with cable in our living room, and that's it. And we don't watch a lot of shows. We watch movies, and we're a sports family, so there's a lot of baseball that's watched around here. We also keep that down to a minimal. So whatever works for you is what's best. And I wanted to remind you that there are some show notes. So as you're listening to this podcast, there are notes on the show page. And if you go to Ultimate Homeschool Radio Network, you can click on the Vintage Homeschool Moms and scroll down and look for the show dealing with discovering your passion. I also want to share with you that there'll be some links there for some of the products that I'm talking about. And one is Covenant Eyes. This is something that my husband and I decided was important for our families to be able to monitor where our children were online. We had safe settings on all our devices, and then I found out that sometimes the apps on a smartphone, can circumvent any sites that you've banned on the internet. So I found Covenant Eyes, highly recommend them, and it is a minimal charge each month for peace of mind. Not that kids can't get around things, because, you know, they can with a friend's phone or device, but it's at least a step in the right direction. So thank God we haven't had issues with that in our family, but I know that that is something that is of concern to parents. So they have some devices, electronics, and gadgets, and that opens an entirely new world for them. Carol Topp, who is an author, and she has a podcast on the Ultimate Homeschool Radio Network called Dollars and Cents, and I highly recommend that to you. One of the things that I have my children do as a project for high school is to have a micro business. So my oldest son in his spare time, found a love and passion for fixing things. He was just good at it. It started with my Cuisinaire mixer one year when I stripped a gear, and it was right before Christmas. And he knew what that was, and we have no idea how, but he did. And he had studied some electronics and motors and things like that in his spare time. He was able to take it apart and order the gear online, have it overnighted, because the part was only $8, and I was happy to pay the $10 overnight shipping for it, and put it in my mixer, and I was up and running in 2 days. And I was so excited and enthusiastic. And remember what I shared with you about allowing your child to find their passion? And I think I told everybody in the world about it, and he didn't say anything. I think I embarrassed him. I think he was all of like 15 or 16 at the time. And soon he was fixing little things and taking apart. And if he didn't know how to fix it, he would research and find out how. And he was repairing my husband's small engines for work. And instead of having to take a generator air compressor in to get it fixed, Nicholas was fixing them. So he started a micro business, and before long he had people bringing him, you know, high-end weed eaters and lawn mowers and blowers and, you know, people at lawn businesses that we knew. He ended up creating this little business out of something that he enjoyed doing. And so this is how these kinds of things come about. With Michael and Ann recently, and I wrote a blog post about it. And again, it's on my blog, and it is under it's under stop motion video. There's a whole thing about that. But that's exactly what Michael did. Before long, I noticed that he was building his Lego creations, as we call them, because he built the way the set came the one time, and then he took it apart, unless it was something really intricate. He would take it apart and just do his own thing. So we dubbed it, you know, Mike's Lego creations that were totally different than what the box recommended. And all of a sudden, I noticed he had all his little minifigures out, and all the guys were dressed in combat gear. And I said, "What are you doing?" And he said, "Oh, just putting some things together." And so to go to my office, which is upstairs and used to be my Christina's room, where I'm recording this right now, I have to walk past his desk. And I'm, to this day, just astounded that I missed the entire thing. And he asked for some things. Like, he said, "Mom, can I have some lights? And can you print this out on your laser printer," which they're not allowed to use unless they get permission. It was a scenery for something he was doing. And he probably said, "I'm working on a video." But I didn't realize that he was working on a stop motion video, or it's called brick films is what they're called. And he created this whole little episode. I was so excited, I had to put it on my blog. Now, it took some arm twisting, because Mike's a little bit more of a perfectionist than I am. And it is not done, and it does not have a voiceover. So as my little, my niece's little son came over recently, who loved it and wanted to learn how to do it, said, "Well, I don't really know what's going on." And I said, "Yeah, I don't tell Michael that, because he wouldn't let me put it on my blog." But he is going to do a voiceover and finish the little video. It's a couple of minutes long. But what astounded me, and the reason I wanted to put it on my blog, is that he created this on his own, researching it himself without my intervention. And it is astounding to me that it is as good as it is with the little bit of knowledge that he had to draw on. So now that I know he's interested, and one of the reasons my children don't get me involved is I'm a hands-on person, and I tend to overstep my bounds, and that is I try to give them too many suggestions. So I've created these children who really want it to be their own thing. I have to respect that. So if you're the kind of mom that I am and you want to be a little bit too helpy, then be prepared, because at some point your kids may not ask you for help. So I try to respect that, and I'm just sharing, I'm being real here, that sometimes I do overstep those bounds, and that was why he didn't pull me into the whole, you know, look what I'm doing. So now that I know that he's interested in this, we're getting some materials together so he can learn about it in a little bit more formalized way and improve on what he's doing. But I asked him if he could give me a list of what he had done, and he said, yeah, you know, and he did. And he created this little flyer that I have, again, on my blog, and it's there's a link in the show notes for you to get it, and it's a step-by-step. So if your children are interested in creating stop-motion video, this is just a short little thing Michael put together, and he is working on an ebook because apparently he had gotten an ebook that wasn't very detailed and didn't give him enough information. So he's going to share that. And then while he's working on that project, Anne is our fudge maker. Now, by the grace of God, I don't like fudge, or I probably would have a very serious weight problem because the rest of my family really loves this family recipe, and my sister-in-law's in particular. So Anne now ships fudge to family members from our kitchen in Florida because it is a time-consuming deal to make this, and it is one of those things that either comes out great or it doesn't, and she's managed to perfect the recipe. So what she has done is, again, come up with a little micro business, and she has a little business plan that she's working on, and right now she's testing different types of containers to ship the fudge. Will this ever be a business for her? Who knows? But again, it's giving her a chance to do something that she likes, to be creative, and to, you know, monetize it at some point. So these are just some examples of ways that you can give your child the opportunities to explore. If you had all the time in the world and you could explore your passion, wouldn't you want to take some time to do that? And that's what you're giving your children. You're giving them the time to explore and to discover. Every once in a while, I'll meet a child that will say to me, well, you know, there's nothing I'm interested in. Well, that's because they haven't found their passion yet. They haven't found the one thing that they really enjoy doing, the hobby that they like. Or some kids just have too many things that interest them, and they also, you know, have some time issues because they're trying to juggle between all of these likes. So you can encourage your children to maybe pick one thing and focus. If you can, congratulations. That's something that I have never been able to do myself. I mean, I've never been diagnosed as ADD or, you know, ADHD or any of those DDs. But I have to say that there are some projects that I'm really enthusiastic about, and I get them started, and then I want somebody else to run them because I'm on to the next thing. You know, I caution you about that if you find your kids tend to be like me. And it, again, it's something that I have to be aware of. I know that. And so having a plan really helps a lot to keep me focused. Well, hopefully this has been a beneficial audio for you. And, you know, the bottom line here is by giving your children time to think, to explore, and to create, it is also giving them time, and especially for those of us who are Christian, to listen to that still voice that belongs to the Lord and to be able to hear Him. You know, many times we're so busy, we're rushing around, that we're not giving any time at all to the Lord, just to be able to sit, to listen, and to be with Him. So I want to leave you with that thought, and I want to encourage you to visit my website at mediaangels.com and to follow me on iTunes and RSS feed. You know, one of the things that you can do for us and this entire network is to find us on iTunes and give us a rating. That will really help us tremendously. So I appreciate your time. God bless, and I'll see you next week.
Thanks for tuning in to the Vintage Homeschool Mom Show. Visit Felice at MediaAngels.com and TheVintageHomeschoolMoms.com. Vintage Homeschool Moms is a production of the Ultimate Homeschool Radio Network.